Thank you, Lord. This is Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, 4/12/20. And the title of this is Holy Communion. Now, I'm going to do a teaching here that's leading up to it, and you may think, what does that have to do with the other? But the Lord brought it all together, so today's Easter Sunday, we're going to take communion. It's a symbol of our redemption. Redemption from what you might ask, from the fall. In Genesis 3, we see the fall of man, and we also see God's promise of one that would come to redeem man back to the pre-fall state. Now, let's turn over to Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto her, The woman, ye shall not surely die, for God knoweth. But God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So this was the foretelling of the Messiah. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and the conception in sorrow. That thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And then he talked to Adam about working by the sweat of his brow. So this is the reason that Jesus had to come. Who caused the fall? The cabal. Satan's the cabal. I mean, he's raised up nasty people to do his bidding, but he in essence is the one. Here's what a cabal is. The artifices and intrigues of a group of persons secretly united in a plot as to overturn a government. That's the cabal. We see Satan show up in the garden with his plot to overthrow God's government. He sat down for Adam and Eve and all the generations after that. We're going to take a little journey before we partake of communion. So you can see that this plot has never changed, and we see an advanced state of this plot at work in our world today. We're in the days that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man shall be. The Lord began to show me this plot when he was talking to John about the seven churches. It also confirms to me once again that our 1,000-year reign with Christ, that it will be in our natural bodies and will be carrying out the Master's business. Now I want to look over to Revelation right quick. Chapter 2. This is when Jesus was talking to John about the churches that he would oversee. Revelation 2:12. When I started on this teaching, I said, Lord, this is kind of going in a different direction. He said, just hang loose, it'll come together. So, okay. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So we see the stuff of today in this. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I don't know what that is, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. Donald Trump does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's agent of wrath. Okay? Keep that in mind. Does that sound familiar? Revelation 19. I believe this is significant of God's judgment on the wicked. Kind of like the death angel was talking about. Okay, Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire. So he's there to judge. This is not the rapture or even the second coming. This is the judgment of the whore, the cabal. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his crown were many head were many crowns. What does that signify? He's conquered every kingdom, mm-hmm. every king, all the beast system, and all their heads and their crowns, all in the scripture. He's wearing many crowns. As he took one out, he put another crown on. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. It wasn't his blood. It's the blood of those he's slain, those judgment. And in his name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I think that'd be the church. We're seated with him in heavenly places, aren't we? Aren't we his warriors? And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with it should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls of the air that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye meet the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, who, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. There's our third heaven authority making decrees. The sword of the Spirit out of our mouth against things and for things. Revelation 20. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. You know what? I got to thinking about it. When we bind the devil, is this what happens? You know, I brought this up before. He says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. What are the keys of the kingdom? I can lock that sucker up. There's the keys of the kingdom right there. And all his works. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he shall be loosed a little season. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon his foreheads or in their minds, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Who do you think that be? Elijah's? James 5? Elijah. He called fire down out of heaven. The two witnesses, they have the ability to call fire down. Turn the water into blood. Make the sun stand still. Whatever. Authority. Ruling and reigning. Looks like that third heaven authority bunch at work again. Remember, we're ruling and reigning on the earth, and when Satan was loosed and started his plot, we called the fire down on him just like Elijah called fire down on the prophets of Baal. All right, now go back to chapter 2. Verse 18. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works in charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Here comes that nastiness again. This is in the church. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed with them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will cure her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I give unto every one of you according to your works. But I say unto you, and unto the breast and Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already held fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of potter shall be, they be broken to the shivers, even as I received of my Father. So these ones that have learned to walk and rule and reign, he's going to give us power over the nations. Like I said, it's going to be a natural kingdom, natural people living, people having babies, getting married, promotions. Matthew 25. I think, what does this got to do with communion? I don't know. But it's all in there. It'll work out. Well, this is talking about the virgins. 10 were wise. I mean, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Then we pick up with about verse 14. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven here. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now we're talking the kingdom here. Okay. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to another man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. And he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. All this is about our promotion is to rule and to reign. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. He said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which hath received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. It's kind of like the virgins that didn't have enough oil. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take for therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now this judgment is going to go on after the 1,000 years. We see here the virgins being promoted or demoted. Those that had extra oil were promoted. Those without were demoted. This will be our promoted positions for the 1,000-year reign. Verse 31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. This appears to be different in Revelation 19 when he is on the horse, doesn't it? This has to be a second coming because right here he separates the sheep from the goats. It appears no matter what timeline we are in, the rise of the cabal has been working its plot against humanity. We have seen throughout the Old and New Testaments the working and plotting of Satan. Paul said he was afraid that when he left, that just as the serpent beguiled Eve, that the serpent would also beguile the church. Okay, now Revelation 1:7. Right here is coming. 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. No secret catching away here. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. It won't be a secret when he comes. He's coming as a thief is for the church alone. That's when he's requiring us. He's depending on us, the virgins, when they came, or when he came. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise, 5 were prepared for his coming, 5 were not. Okay. All right. Pick up where I just... Oh. It's kind of obvious here that a half probably won't be ready. Sorry to disappoint whoever might be listening, but time to unpack that suitcase and get to work. The one that I was talking to you about they didn't believe we were in the end times and all that kind of stuff. Like I said, that futurism doctrine puts everything out here. And if all these signs and all this list that they have doesn't happen, then they'd say, well, then it's not time. Okay. With Jesus' conversation with John about the 7 churches, I came away with a partial list of some of the ways that the cabal plot tries to rise up, leaving our first love. Money and being a hypocrite, saying one thing and doing another. Idol worship, which leads to that worship, which is sexual perversion. The Jezebel spirit, which is Baal worship, human sacrifice, abortion, and cannibalism. Now I will tie this into Holy Communion. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. I told you I'd tie it together. 1 Corinthians 10, 21. We live in such a loosey-goosey churchy society. There is such a loosey-goosey church society today. The people think that if you say anything to them, you're being racist or homophobic or misogynist or you just name it, even among Christians. They don't believe in calling sin, sin. Just let me be who I want. My producer was talking about a church in their area. They had totally given over to the homosexual agenda, allowing them to come in, even teach in the pulpit and even teach the kids and different things. I said, it's one thing to bring them in to get their minds renewed, to see the truth of God's word and to change their mind for the better, but to just totally adopt to their sin. I sent him a scripture and I said, there's a scripture that says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So, yeah. 1 Corinthians 10, 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? The table of devils, stealing, killing, and destroying. The Lord's table, life, and that more abundantly. Through the blood you are made righteous and worthy to partake of the Lord's table. Now I'm going to read it right quick. I'm going to read this. Why don't you come up and do your song right quick, and then I'll read the rest of this. You just keep the tape going. Just keep the tape going. Whatever. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 here, verse 23-30. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and body of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I just wanted to bring out here, blood signifies forgiveness, right standing with God, and worthiness. Unleavened bread shows sinless, divine health, prosperity, and youth renewal. When people partake unworthily, it's that they don't know that I can expect when I partake of this covenant, I come knowing that he has made me sinless and I can receive freely his benefits. Okay, let me give you. I'd like to read, as we do this, out of Joseph Prince's little book, Health and Wholeness Through Holy Communion. I don't think that we've looked at the Word of God correctly concerning communion. A lot of people will pass it by because they do not want to take it unworthily. Well, to take it unworthily is to not realize what he did. When we realize what he did, then we can take it freely and expect all of the benefits, all the reason for the stripes on his back, health and healing, prosperity. All we can, we think, Lord, I take that into my body. He already bore it all on his body. So our bodies can be free. Let's take the bread. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It is for my healing, my spouse's healing, my children's healing. Thank you that by your stripes, by the beatings you bore, by the lashes which fell on your back, we are completely healed. I believe and I receive. Let's believe and receive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood. Your blood has brought me forgiveness and washed me from every sin. I thank you that your blood has made me righteous. And as I drink, I celebrate and partake of the inheritance of the righteous, which is preservation, healing, wholeness, and prosperity. Thank you, Jesus. We love you because you first loved us. Thank you, Lord.